Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I'm Sarah Avery of Sarah Avery Legal Practice, and today's episode will be about defamation law reform that has recently happened in New South Wales and in fact other states and territories around the country. If you found it interesting to listen to my episode on why politicians can sue for defamation, which is season 2, episode 20, then I think you'll be interested in today's podcast. I'm recording this episode on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. Sovereignty was never ceded. So my previous episode about defamation was put out in May 2021. And on the 1st of July 2021, some reforms came into place, and now New South Wales has an updated Defamation Act. Now, as you know, I'm a criminal lawyer. I'm not a defamation lawyer, but I sure can read a piece of legislation. So one of the new sections of the Act is Section 10A. This means that in order for you to have a cause of action for defamation, the publication of the defamatory matter must have caused or be likely to cause serious harm to the reputation of the person. This wasn't previously required. And parties to a defamation proceeding can now ask a judge to make a determination up front about whether serious harm has been established. When I say up front, I mean any time before the trial. And if a party applies for the serious harm element to be determined before the trial, the judicial officer has to determine that issue as soon as possible, unless they're satisfied that there are special circumstances that allow that issue to be postponed. And the sorts of things that they can take into account about whether there are special circumstances about whether it should be postponed are costs implications to the parties, court resources, and the extent to which establishing the serious harm element is linked to other issues for determination during the trial. So that kind of means, is it more convenient for the court to deal with everything all at once? Does it rely on some of the same evidence? Okay, then maybe they'll just determine whether there's serious harm at the trial. There are other issues that arise that are new in this Act. Some of those really important and interesting things are new defences. One of these new defences is found in Section 29A, Defence of Publication of Matter Concerning Issue of Public Interest. So, the person being sued has a defence if they can prove that the matter concerns an issue of public interest and the defendant reasonably believed that the publication of the matter was in the public interest. And a court has to take into account all circumstances of the case. Without limiting the circumstances the court can take into account, subsection 3 sets out some factors that the court may take into account. So it can look at the seriousness of any defamatory imputation carried by the matter published. And I might just pause there because imputation is a word that we don't really use in public a lot of the time. It really is a legal word. Now, as I say, I'm not a defamation lawyer, but just putting it into everyday language, a defamatory imputation is something that is defamatory, okay? But an imputation, it's like insinuating something, it's suggesting something. So it's words that sort of suggest something about someone that they think is defamatory. It might not be that you come right out and say it, although you might. It might be more something that you can work out by reading it. So you look at the seriousness of any defamatory imputation. You look at the extent to which the matter published distinguishes between suspicions, allegations, and proven facts. You look at the extent to which the matter published relates to the performance of public functions or activities of the person. You look at whether it was in the public interest in the circumstances for the matter to be published expeditiously. That means, did it have to be published at that time? the sources of the information in the matter published, including the integrity of the sources. So one of the things the court can look at, did this get published on the basis of information coming from a source that seemed to be reliable, or did the person who published it seem to not really care? The court can also look at if a source of the information in the matter published is a person whose identity is being kept confidential, whether there is good reason for the person's identity to be kept confidential. Also, the court can look at whether the matter published contained the substance of the allegedly defamed person's side of the story, and if it didn't, whether the publisher made a reasonable attempt to get and publish a response from that person. The court can also look at any other steps taken to verify the information published, and the court can look at the importance of freedom of expression in the discussion of issues of public interest. The court doesn't have to look at all those factors, and the court's not limited to just looking at those factors. So there you go. That's a new defence that is available to people. Another defence that is now in the Defamation Act comes under Section 30, capital A. That's the defence of scientific or academic peer review. So if something is published and it's alleged to be defamatory, it's a defence if the defendant proves that the matter was published in a scientific or academic journal and it relates to a scientific or academic issue and an independent review of the matter's scientific or academic merit was carried out before it was published in the journal by the editor of the journal, if they've got the right expertise, or one or more persons with expertise in the scientific or academic issue concerned. So there you go. That's something that really shows that great credence is given to scientific and academic vetting of material. Now, the defence can be established, but it can be defeated only if the plaintiff proves that the defamatory material or assessment was not published honestly for the information of the public or the advancement of education. So that'd be a bit tricky to prove, I would think, but I guess every case, as we always say, turns on its facts. There are lots of other interesting things in the Defamation Act, and if you want to hear from the New South Wales Attorney General, who has spoken to lawyers weekly about this and about a few other issues that we've actually touched on in the podcast, like consent laws and coercive control, I'm going to give you the details of that podcast so that you can get a bit more of an in-depth view of the new Defamation Act. If you go to your podcast app or wherever you get your podcasts, you will be able to find the Lawyers Weekly podcast network. And if you look at the episode from the 13th of July, 2021, New South Wales AG Mark Speakman on defamation law reform, you'll find the episode that I'm talking about. And if you happen to get your podcasts through Google or whatnot, if you Google Lawyers Weekly Mark Speakman defamation, you will get what you're after. So as I said, that goes into a bit more depth and you'll hear from the person responsible for the changes to the legislation. If you're really, really interested in the public interest defence, the Lawyers Weekly podcast also has a further episode about this. So if you look at their podcast from the 16th of July 2021, you'll see one with the title The Public Interest Defence to Defamation, and Lawyers Weekly speaks to a few lawyers from Mark Lawyers. They talk about the public interest defence and what it might mean. So if you're really quite interested in that, have a listen to those two episodes. They'll take you into this issue in much greater depth. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. As I said, I don't do defamation law, but I do know people who do. So if you would like to get in touch with me, I can pass you on to them if you do need some advice about defamation. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. I'm Sarah Avery of Sarah Avery Legal Practice.